Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. Today, we're going to talk a little Bama football, but I have Andrew Flower. He writes for Golden State, and he writes for the Oakland Raiders. We're going to have a little Bay Area. We're going to talk Bay Area sports today. I'm really looking forward to it. He does a fantastic job for me. So I'm really excited to talk to this young man today. But first, I want to go right into LSU, Alabama. This is a very, very difficult game to predict. These teams are evenly matched. The game is in Alabama. Alabama's got to figure out how to stop Leonard Fournette. They're very, very good at stopping power running teams. It's a specialty of Nick Saban. He learned under Bill Belichick. And it's been their specialty. This is a tall task, stopping a fantastic runner like Fournette. He kind of reminds me of Bo Jackson. Coward speed. He doesn't have great moves, but he knows how to hit the hole. He knows how to get free. And once he gets in the open field, forget it. But Alabama, what they do, I love what Alabama does. Their linebackers and defensive tackles take on blockers. You see a lot of these finesse teams where linebackers want to get around the blockers to make the tackle. Bama backers take on the tackles and play a physical head-on type of defense. And he has a big front seven, pretty good secondary. So this is going to come down to Brandon Harris making plays. He has 9 TDs, but he's going to have to Trayvon Dural is going to have that big game for them. He only has 2 touchdowns. He's going to have to – they're going to have to open it up a little if they slow Fournette down. I worry about Coker on the other end because he does have 7 interceptions. He's played a little better. But we're going to see if this is a Jake Coker kind of game. And I want to say this. This is the one problem that I have with both teams. I'm going to start with LSU. Les Miles gets a little goofy sometimes with the trick plays in these kind of big games. He has to keep it simple. Maybe I would expect one time, because Leonard Fournette's a really good passer, they pitch it out. Leonard Fournette catches the pitch like he's going to run, stops, throws a deep ball to Dural, and see if they can catch Bama napping because Bama may overcommit to Fournette. And that's about the only that's the only play I would run, but you never know with Les Miles. And then on the other end, Lane Kiffin gets a little – just a little tricky, too, with Bama. Instead of just going straight ahead with Derrick Henry, who has 1,044 yards and 14 touchdowns, I would just go smash mouth. Because usually you can against LSU, but LSU's defensive line is a little lighter. They're quicker, but they're a little lighter, and maybe Bama can kind of wear them out near the end of the game. And I'm banking on that. I'm thinking Bama 10-6. I don't think it's going to be a lot of points scored. I wouldn't be surprised at all if LSU wins, because LSU wins a lot in Bama. Bama wins a lot in LSU. It's just going to be a hard – it's my kind of game. TCU, Baylor, I do like. I don't like a lot of offense, but if I see TCU and Baylor, that's kind of fun to watch. And then somehow I'm hoping the winner of TCU and Baylor can meet the winner of Alabama-LSU in the playoff. I want to see the complete contrast of styles clash, and we'll see which style is going to be the one that's going to rule the day. Is it the smash mouth LSU Alabama, or is it the high flying act of Baylor and TCU? And we'll, you know, I'll talk further and more about that Monday on Monday show, because I'm waiting for my guest Andrew Flower to come on. But I like Bama. Now, as far as Florida State and Clemson, I like Clemson to finally take care of Florida State. It's always been Florida State figuring out a way to always win, but Deshaun Watson is going to find a way to get the job done. He's not just a runner. I like his football IQ. He's good in the pocket, and that's going to bode well for him when it comes to the pros. So I like Clemson in that game to beat the Florida State Seminoles. But Florida State could win. I don't trust Deshaun Golston. He was on my Notre Dame team. My Notre Dame team right now is ranked 5. I'm a Notre Dame fan. And after watching the ESPN 30 for 30 with Bill McCartney back in the 80s when Notre Dame played, I'm a little ashamed to say that. After listening to they recorded Lou Holtz in a huddle before the Colorado game. Colorado lost their quarterback. He died of a stomach disease, and they dedicated the season to him. And they caught Lou Holtz in a huddle talking about, yeah, they're living a lie. We'll beat them. They know they beat him, but that's shameful. And it just, you know, my image of Lou Holtz is a guy that was humble and always talked up the other team. That crumbled watching that. Now I know that he's probably a bit of a hypocrite, and he never really thought much of the opponent. And that was tough to watch as a Notre Dame fan, how he, you know, and the Colorado players understandably hated Notre Dame. You know, you got that kind of emotion, and you love your player, and he dies, and you see a guy just, another coach just trivialize that. I hope somehow when Lou Holtz caught up with McCartney, I know they saw each other in the following year, I hope that Lou Holtz apologized somehow. Said, listen, I got a little too excited. I wanted to fire my team up. I apologize. Hopefully that happened. But Notre Dame should not be number 5, period. Okay, I have my one of my favorite guests from the West Coast, Andrew Flower, the writer of
Ron, how you doing?
How you doing? Golden State and Oakland Raiders. First, we're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors. And this is what I see. I see a team that is kind of playing like they're kind of ticked off early at 6-0, and they have this chip on their shoulder because everybody called them lucky. And I kept hearing the lucky, and yeah, they're not that great a championship team, one-year wonder. And they're starting the season like they didn't win last year. They're starting like they're hungry, like they're the hunters. What do you think?
I agree with all of that. I think if you want to come back and win a second championship, I think having that chip on your shoulder, something to play for, is it's vital, you know, to go through an NBA season and be hungry all season. And they're playing extremely well to start this year. I think they've already set a new franchise record for best start. I mean, after you win 67 games, how could you imagine that that's possible? But they're just playing extremely well with it seems like every player just has the utmost confidence about their game, and it's really translating.
Speaking of the utmost confidence, and I know this is crazy, Steph Curry, he's not even in his prime yet. He's still developing as a player, and he's playing like he wants to be the MVP, and he wants another ring badly. And you could tell by just the way he is lights out in the fourth quarter, especially in that, I watched the Clippers game, and I watched how he's playing. And because he's a leader, it raises the rest of the team's level.
Yeah, exactly. Last night, for example, I think they had 28 assists in the first half. Mm. So what's always been dangerous about the Warriors is their ability to move the ball and really have any player be able to beat you on any given night. But Steph Curry is definitely taking his game personally to the next level. Some of his shots that he's making are just, you can't even explain them. The guy is just going to, you know, if you're going to guard him outside the three-point line, he's going to stand 2 feet further back and just huck it up there. And they've been going in for him. He's on pace to hit like 493s this season, which is just ridiculous. I mean, he sat out 17 fourth quarters last year. So if it wasn't for that, he probably would have blown his three-point record out of the water. But he's playing extremely well, and I think it's not just confidence, but it's showing their hard work that they're putting in over the offseason showing off. There's videos of him on the Warriors Facebook page doing neurologic brain drills while he's doing dribbling drills.
That.
I think, yeah, that stuff is incredible. I mean, I think he's just putting in the work to be the best player. The thing about Steph Curry is he'll never come out like LeBron or Kevin Durant and say to the world, you know, I'm the best player. But I think he has every right to be mentioned with those guys' names.
Yeah, I can make a case that he's the best player right now. He's just about to enter his prime. He's playing at a high level. he could play the whole year. Yeah, I don't like arrogant statements like that either. Me and you are on the same level. I'll tell you two guys I agree. Two guys I like that really improved. One is Harrison Barnes. He is coming right now. He's really balling. He played good last year, but this year he's extra confident.
Well, you know why? He's playing for a contract now. You know, he's playing to get paid. So he turned down some big money from the Warriors before the season started. And basically in doing that, you know, he's saying that I deserve, you know, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green money. And he's the fourth option on a really, really good team. So he really needs to show that he deserves the contract that he's looking for.
I love what Festus Ezeli gives Golden State. I think they lacked an interior presence where teams could kind of push them around inside at times if they did have a weakness. And he shored that up with his shot block and his ability to be tough inside. I like it that he starts and then Bogut, a guy with a good IQ, but not as good as at times as Ezeli comes off the bench. I just like that setup right now.
Yeah, Bogut and Ezeli are a nasty two-headed monster at center. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both seven-footers, athletic. You know, Bogut was voted in the top five of Defensive Player of the Year last year. Like you said, Bogut has the edge with the IQ. He is invaluable on offense. He moves the ball so well, sets screens for Curry. Thompson can find them, cutting back door. But what Festus Ezeli brings you is that defensive presence, and he's young, he's athletic, he's not scared of anybody, much like Bogut, which to win a championship, you need that defensive anchor down low to really lead the team. And that's what Bogut gives you, and I think that's what Festus Ezeli is, he's growing into that role, and hopefully he can learn from Bogut. The one thing about Bogut is every time I see him jump, I kind of cringe. I just feel like he's something crazy bad is going to happen. This guy he got elbowed in the face in the preseason, broke his nose, and he got hit in the head again and got a concussion and hasn't played in the regular season yet. So hopefully he'll be well-rested. Ezeli's picking up the slack in terms of his minutes. They're seeing Jason Thompson start to get a little more run, McAdoo. So they have an incredibly deep team. Yeah, and they're Ezeli is definitely stepping up, and he's playing for a contract as well. He's
going to get paid a lot.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get paid a lot. And with Bogut being a free agent after next season, it's really going to be interesting to see how they attack Festus compared to Barnes, because I think both of those players are extremely important to the team. But with the money that Barnes is seeking, you might see one of those guys walk after the season's over.
Yeah, it's the way the cap is. There's no other choice you have. Now, we're the tale of two radio broadcasters. You're an Oakland Raiders fan, full of confidence. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, full of no confidence. I'm not looking forward to the Mars game.
Let's just say that, because
I'm pissed off at my Steelers, and you're excited about the Raiders. So go talk about the Raiders right now.
Yeah, man, the Raiders are looking nice. It's an exciting time. They're finally starting to trend in the right direction. Much like the Warriors did, the Raiders front office, Mark Davis has brought in somebody in Reggie McKenzie that he trusts that can make the right football decisions. And that's something the Raiders, you know, have always just relied on Al Davis for. They never had
very
a general
impressed.
Manager. So,
I'm very impressed. You know, Mark Davis is perfect for Oakland because he has a calm demeanor. He's not vindictive like the father was. I just like the Del Rio. I like the direction. I like Camille Mack. And Crabtree, I didn't think was that great, but he's really playing good, mentoring Cooper. I like the direction your team is, regardless of whether you get the wild card or not. If you win, then you can think about wild card. If not, you're still going to be in it. But it's going to be fun in Oakland now.
Yeah.
And I'm not in Oakland. I mean, like I said, I'm a Steel fan, but the NFL kind of needs Oakland to be good. It's always with the Pirates and the music and all that stuff.
Yeah, that team as a whole, those fans, they kind of live life with a chip on their shoulder. So it's different than a lot of different scenes that you see in the NFL. That stadium is old. It's decrepit. Going to a game there, you're there to watch the game. You're not there for anything else. The tailgate scene is unreal at the Coliseum.
You know, I would like to go there. I like that kind of atmosphere. I'm a football guy. I like that. I mean, I wouldn't tell a soul I was stiff. I just go as a bystander, wear black, and not really say, just watch and eat the tailgate. Just enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the tailgate atmosphere at most NFL stadiums is pretty legit, but they do it right out there. You know, people show up at 7:30, 8 o'clock for the 1 o'clock games, and they're going all day. Usually results in some rowdy crowds, but, you know, I don't think they'd have it any other way.
Yeah, most of the Oakland fights I just watch on YouTube are with San Diego fans for some odd reason.
You know, I don't know if you caught the Raiders game in San Diego a couple weeks ago, but I would say that crowd was probably 60-40 Raider fans. I think there's more Raiders fans.
I saw the game, yes. It was a lot of Raiders fans.
Down there than San Diego, yeah. And that's what the whole stadium situation is. It's just looming, and I think it sucks for all the fans involved, you know, for the Rams, for the Chargers, for the Raiders. Because
to me, this is what needs to happen. The Rams need to go back to L.A. Oakland needs to get their stadium fixed up. They're the Oakland Raiders, and not the L.A. Raiders.
Exactly.
Oakland,
exactly.
I grew up on Oakland. I mean, as a Steeler fan for years and years and years, watching the old Oakland Raiders. They're Oakland. Fans need – you can't take – if a fan base didn't care, that's one thing. This fan base is passionate. And it's all over the country, and they're Oakland. And they need to figure out, redo the stadium. Because if you look at the Cubs, they redid Wrigley. And now the atmosphere is even better. You could do the exact same thing. Redo the stadium. Figure out how you're going to do, allocate the funds or whatever. Get private donors, or if you don't worry about tax money. Do what you got to do to keep that team there.
Yeah, that's the problem. They're not getting the most help from the city of Oakland itself. They're in a tough spot. The city is, you know, strapped for funds. And then just all three teams are kind of in flux in terms of the Oakland A's, the Raiders, and Golden State Warriors. I mean, both their stadiums are within, you know, 20 steps of each other. But the Warriors are breaking ground on their stadium in San Francisco.
Nice.
So they want to take the team from Oakland. The A's have been adamant about getting a new stadium for years. And they're not getting much support from the city either. Yeah, so the tough thing about the Raiders in sharing a stadium with the A's is that they kind of have to, in a way, work with them to make sure that they have a place to play, the Raiders have a place to play. But I agree with you. I think the Rams should move to L.A. I think they have a strong following there. And I think the Raiders
still do
in Oakland. Yeah, and, you know, Al Davis renovated the Coliseum maybe 10, 15 years ago when the team moved back from Los Angeles. And all he really did was just, you know, throw in some luxury boxes. I think he was more looking at the profit margin. But they deserve a new stadium. Those fans deserve a new stadium. The team deserves to play in a new stadium and kind of break away from the 10-year hiatus that they were in.
That's what I'm talking about. Five before I let you go. Do you think Stanford's going to run the table and get in? Because that's your only hope as a Pac-12 team.
Yeah. The thing with Stanford, I was listening to your opening spiel there, and like you were saying, the clashing styles of teams, Stanford is one of those teams where if you can, you know, play your style of football, you can beat them, but it's very hard to. They're old school. Control the tempo. Yeah. So I think if they can do that, you know, they can beat a lot of teams because they do have a good defense. They are able to control the ball, and that can take, you know, a high powered offense completely out of their game. And at that point, it's anyone's game.
Totally. I got to let you go, but listen, you're coming back because you are very good. You always bring a lot to the table. So appreciate
it
so much. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And before I go, I do want to talk about the Greg Hardy situation. The guy's a sociopath. I saw the scars on the woman. He's unremorseful. I don't know what Jerry Jones is thinking. I understand he could get 80 sacks. I don't. He should not be in the NFL. And this is not an anti-Dallas thing. This is just an anti-Greg Hardy thing. I do not like this person by any stretch. He's remorseless. He makes stupid comments. He has a terrible temper. He's got a lot of inner demons that are going to be unleashed unless he gets help. And I would, if I'm Dallas, I cut him. I don't care how bad you want to get to the playoffs. I would cut this man, do like Baltimore did Ray Rice. And I'm gonna keep at this. I'm going to keep picking at this sore until the Cowboys cut him or he completely changes. And I'm going to stay on this. Every chance I get, I'm going to come after this situation. I despise domestic violence. I will see you Monday.